You may be seated. I invite you to join me as I read out of the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 7 through 12. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and apostle and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. This is the word of the Lord.
I really feel like the Lord wants to do something today in us. And I think it's just a matter of if you want to respond or not. I'm not saying it's all on you. I think he wants to do something in us beyond just the normal. Show up, do our thing, go home. I truly sense that just as we were worshiping. Like, there's so much more in the passage we're going to look at, like we talked about in first service, is just that I don't want to just talk about this. I don't want you to just listen. I want you to experience it. That's what Paul wants. I'm not just saying that like those are churchy words or pastor's supposed to say this. I really think God wants to do something. I think it just depends on if we let our pride get in the way or not. So I like to keep everyone on their toes. So we might change things up a little bit here and have a chance to get to experience him. I do want to look at our text because this is going to drive us to that place that I'm talking about. So if you'd open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3, we're going to be looking at verses 10 and 11 mainly. And last week we looked at what a true Christian desires. And this week we're going to focus more on the experience side. So a true Christian has things that they should desire, but now we're going to look at more about the experience, what you should experience or long to experience. So read with me Philippians 3, verses 10 and 11. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. That I may know him, like we looked at last week, surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, not just him, the power of his resurrection, right? So not just this, okay, I got this relationship, and then I'm just kind of like good. It's this knowing him then also includes the power of his resurrection. Now, I told this story, I'm going to cut it short for what I want to do here at the end, but of being in an ice storm in Colorado Springs. I lived in Colorado Springs for a year. I was in an ice storm. I didn't know I was in an ice storm. Like, I mean, it wasn't actually coming down at that point. It had already come, and like there was a nice little, you know, layer of ice on the asphalt. All I knew was I was driving my mom's car, and I'm like, there's something wrong with this car. It's just all over the place. And so I get out to look underneath it. Something's got to be broken. There's a lug nut. Something's coming off. What's wrong? And I find out is I get out of the car and step on the asphalt, and it's just like there's ice. I'd never experienced that before. Never. You know why? Because I grew up in southern New Mexico. I didn't grow up in Kansas. You guys are like, duh. We know what ice is all about. We're like, give us some snow instead of ice, right? I didn't know that. I had never experienced ice covering the ground so that when you're driving, you're just like, can't stop. You get on a hill and you're like, oh no, I hope I can stop at some point, right? We didn't experience that in New Mexico. It was new. It was confusing for me. But once I understood what was happening, that's when it made sense. I think there's a lot of people, maybe even here today, but for sure that say, I'm a Christian. I try to obey Jesus, his Bible, follow the rules. And if I were to ask you, do you know the power of his resurrection? You might be like, what is that? What are you talking about? Because you've never experienced it before. You've never driven in an ice storm, right? Or maybe you did experience it back when you were like 10. Now you're in your 30s or 40s or 50s, and you're like, I think I remember what it was like, but I can't tell you that I know it right now. Spurgeon says, doctrine without Christ will be nothing better than his empty tomb. Doctrine without Christ will be nothing better than his empty tomb. And there's many people today that are still staring at the empty tomb and they admire it and they're having Bible studies about it. And they're learning all about the intricacies of this empty tomb. And they don't even know that Jesus isn't there. They don't even want him. They're not looking for him. They don't want to know the power of his resurrection. A lot of us, I think, at times can fall into that. So there's three things I want for us this morning. Three things, really, that I want us to experience. Number one is to experience the power of his resurrection. Experience the power of his resurrection. Again, last week we looked at a true Christian desires to win Christ, to know Christ, and to be found in him. This week, we're going to look at what a Christian wants to experience. And this is much more than intellectual knowledge. Look at verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That I may know Jesus and the power of his resurrection. If Paul was just talking about facts, he would say, and I want to know the facts about the resurrection. I want more information. No, this is an experience. I want to know the power of his resurrection in my life. Like, we're too content, me included, okay? This isn't like a talking down to you, me included. We're too content living without the experience. We're too content living without the power of his resurrection at work in our lives. And we like the resurrection, we like Easter Sunday, but there's just things in each one of our lives that if we're honest, we say, oh, that's too much. That's too big. That's impossible. And that's kind of where we sit. And we end up sitting in that doubt, and then we just live in it. Day after day after day. Yeah, I believe in the resurrection, but we actually are just living in this doubt. And what Paul is calling us to, what I'm calling us to, is give that up. His power is here. The resurrection power is here. Think about the sun coming up over the horizon. Starts to light up everything. Starts to touch the ground. Starts to melt the frost. Starts to warm everything up. Its light brings that warmth. Its power touches the earth. The same thing happens to your heart as a Christian when the power of the resurrection comes inside. It warms your heart. It melts that cold heart. And it brings it to life. And that's what we experience then as Christians and should continue to experience, not just a one-time thing. The power of his resurrection. We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about his resurrection. The power of his resurrection reveals that Christ has the power over sin, over death, over Satan. Colossians 2, he shamed Satan in all of his demons and powers and authorities. Jesus has the power over that. You got that, right? Okay. That power operates in the life of a believer. And Paul is saying, I want to know that power. I want to know the power of his resurrection. And it is something we can experience. So when I'm saying I want us to experience that, it is something we can experience. Why? Because we have been raised to life with Christ. like we looked at last week. I am found in him. I have died with him. I have been raised with him. Jesus says in John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. Life is found in him. And I am raised with him. That's the picture of baptism. Which, by the way, we're going to do that March 14th. So if you're interested, come talk to me. Okay? That's going to be awesome. Jesus says in John 10, 17, and if you have no idea what I'm talking about with baptism, come talk to me again and we'll discuss that too. I lay down my life that I may take it up again. This is what Jesus says. I lay down my life that I may take it up again. Jesus has the power to take up his own life. So it's right to understand, we talked about this in our statement of faith group, it's right to understand that God the Father raises Jesus Christ from the dead. But it's also right to understand that Jesus raised himself from the dead. Now this is confusing, it's the mystery of the Trinity. Okay. Bottom line, all you need to think about is Jesus is so powerful, he can take up his own life again. Jesus is the source of life. This is the power that Paul wants to know. And so this morning, what I want to say is to you is, do you know the power of his resurrection? And are you experiencing the power of his resurrection? Paul is saying he wants to know that. He wants to experience that. Not just talk about it. Not have a Bible study about it. I do want you to study your Bibles. But don't stop there. Are you experiencing that in your daily life? Have you experienced that? That life-giving power that Jesus is alive? Like, what would have happened if he stayed dead? Well, even if he was a good guy, sinless, and he stayed dead, what would happen? Our whole gospel hinges on this moment of the resurrection. And he is alive, and therefore the power he's not contained, if that makes sense. There's not like a, hey, he's still in the grave. No, he's out there. The power, his power is not limited. And it's for anyone, not just super smart people, not just for a certain class of people, not for a certain color of people, not for a certain nation. This is for everyone. No matter what anyone else says. Now, this glorious truth, unfortunately, I guess, because this is the hard part, must be held with what Paul says next. I shouldn't say unfortunately. It's just that's how we feel, okay? This is, we feel this way. Verse 10, look at verse 10. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Oh, this is the part where it's like, what? Why, Paul? Couldn't you have left that part out? Like, I want to know the power of the resurrection, but I do not want to share in his sufferings. I mean, if I'm being honest, I would be like, I don't want that, right? Most of us don't. Now, Paul is speaking in present tense here. Look at that. And may share his sufferings. I think the reason why is because Jesus feels suffering even now as his body suffers. Get that from Acts 9. Okay, so I'm going to just give you three things, okay? This is extra credit. It's not in the outline that you're going to see on there. It's extra credit. If you write it down, you get an award, a golden star or something, but not from me because I don't have anything. But you're special, okay? You're special, really. I am happy for you. No, if you do want to write this down, this is where I'm going with this. The share his sufferings. Share his sufferings. We're talking about Jesus Christ. Number one, sharing Christ's sufferings means persecution. Literally, we're talking about being mocked, being rejected by the world, being hated, emotional, relational, physical pain. That's what we're talking about, okay? Now, why it's present tense, I think, is because Acts 9 says this. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? This is Jesus talking to Paul. And he said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Jesus is showing that he suffers when his body suffers, the body of Christ, us. This is why I think it's present tense. Second thing, becoming like him in his death. That's the second part of this verse. Becoming like him in his death, or being conformed to him in his death, I think means two things. Is that we look like him when we suffer. We have the same attitude like him when we suffer, but also we rejoice in the suffering that he did on our behalf. I think you should have both of those things happening. As you suffer, you should look like Christ, meaning what? Chapter 2 of Philippians. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. We humble ourselves then under his mighty hand and we receive what comes. What I'm saying is sometimes it's not what we want. And I'm not downplaying anyone's suffering at all, okay? So hear me say that. I think some of you have gone through things that I don't know how I could handle, honestly. Some of you have experienced loss that I feel like I would lose it. I would go nuts if I was in your position. Couldn't experience that level of pain. What would I do? But what I do know is this, and this is what I want to hold on to and I want you to hold on to. When we suffer, you need to know that Jesus suffered infinitely more than you can ever imagine. So he suffered for your sake. And our afflictions are light and momentary is what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4. Okay, so we have to hold on to that. It doesn't feel light or momentary. Know that. I know some of you. I know your pain. It doesn't feel like this. You're telling me you don't even know, Matt. I probably don't. What I'm telling you is that God put that in his word, and even when we don't feel it, he suffered infinitely more, and you can hold on to him as your comforter, okay? Third thing, sharing his sufferings or fellowship in his sufferings means, this is the best part, he is with you. You are sharing it, so you're not alone. You're sharing in his sufferings. You're joining him, actually. And this means, even though we struggle to believe it, you can make it through. It means you can make it through because he is with you. Now, the parable of the sower, Jesus gives a story of sowing seeds, right? Some fall on the rocks, some fall in the cracks and the birds take up. Some fall in good soil, right? The one that falls on the rocky ground says the one who hears the word immediately receives it with joy, yet has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when what happens? When tribulation and persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. Don't be that person. Sometimes we were talking at our retreat yesterday, our college retreat. Sometimes being a Christian, one of the guys talking said, is just simply holding on and not giving up. There are some times where it's just like, I got nothing, but I haven't given up. Okay, so don't be that seed. Don't give up when you suffer, because each one of us could say, I want the crown of glory. I want that eternal crown, but I do not want to bear the crown of thorns. And yet that's our reality, is we are called to bear that crown of thorns with our Savior. We will suffer. It's normal. We will suffer. It's inevitable. What's crazy about this passage, though, is Paul's not just saying that. He's saying he wants to share in Christ's sufferings. Now, let me just briefly speak about what I think might be before us. And you might have a different take on this, and that's okay. But there's a professor of theology named Robert Gagnon. I think that's how you say his name. Weird name. Nice guy. Seems nice. I've read some of his articles, things like that. He was recently suspended from Facebook for 7 days. Okay? Why? Because he was inciting violence, according to Facebook. What did he say? He said that basically transgender ideology is fake science and it ignores reality. He was referring to some changes around some stuff that happened in the military. Okay? He posted that. Now he's banned because he's inciting violence. This guy literally was just claiming the simple fact that there's male and there's female and God created this and this is his design and his order is good. Just Genesis 1, 2, 3, just simple stuff. Stuff that you would read, your kids can read, and then be like, yep, duh. Okay, stuff we've just always held on to is obvious. Not so obvious anymore. He was suspended for inciting violence. That was violence, according to them. So if you can't see the writing on the wall, I just want this to be a warning to you that this is coming for all Christians. That if you believe basic truths in here, you believe in hate speech. If you speak these things, you are a hater. You hate people. Now remember, that's what you're hearing. But what is the definition of love and hate? Who defines that? God does. Well, what does God say is loving? That's where you got to go back to. What does God say is loving? Speaking the truth in love, not lying to people, right? So you got to keep that in mind, okay? But I want this to be in your mind. Let this be a warning to you. If you refuse to see it's happening, I could be wrong, but I would say don't be arrogant and let something fall upon you and you're not ready for it. Now, I'm saying that, and I'm saying, look, this is coming for Christians. It's gaining momentum. The ideologies out there are gaining momentum. They're anti-gospel, anti-God, but I am not at all discouraged, okay? Really, I'm not scared. I'm hopeful, very hopeful, honestly. And I think this is the time for us as Christians. You got to move and you got to act. We've been standing on the sidelines for too long. You got to get in the arena. You got to get engaged. You got to act. Do something. Like, we've been watching too long. But what I am suggesting then, what I'm saying, unless God does a mighty work, unless he brings about some kind of awakening, and what I want to say is he can, okay? If we believe it and pray like it and live like it, it's possible. He has all the power to do it, okay? He can do that. It's up to him what he wants to do. If he doesn't do that, persecution is coming. The pressure is coming. Now, here's the good news for some of you in this room. It's not for everyone. It's only going to be for those who hold fast to God's word. So there's going to be many that claim they believe the Bible. And as the heat continues to be turned up from what we see, unless God stops that and uses us to stop that, I think there's going to be a lot of people that just slip out of the truth and say, well, look, Matt, that guy, that professor should not have said that. He should have kept his thoughts to himself. What a jerk. You don't get it. You Christians are just all, you're better than everyone. Or I'm a Christian, but that guy was way wrong. I'm going to distance myself from him. Or like, I don't know. I mean, like, you come down pretty hard on things. I don't really know what I believe about sexuality. It could go either way. I'll go with the people that aren't going to yell at me and get mad and make my life miserable. I'm not going to come down hard anywhere. Like, I'm not going to be like, oh, there's a line there. I'm not going to cross that. Like, that's not, love your neighbor, man. Come on. I don't want to offend anyone. I don't even know what the definition of love is, but I'm going to claim I do. Maybe it's just, I don't understand the Bible. I don't want those people to bother me. The point is that I think there's an increasing amount of pressure on our culture against Christian beliefs. And so there will be a group of Christians who are cowards who will reject Christ. And so let this be a warning to you. You don't have to be in that category, okay? You don't have to. And so my question then is, will you suffer for his sake? Because he suffered for you, to have you, to keep you forever. Now, with that, I know there's a lot of things that I was talking in the first service that we can't cover here on a Sunday morning. There's a lot of questions. We are faced with new questions almost every week. How does a Christian handle this situation? How does a Christian handle it when our basic beliefs are hate speech? How do we handle these things? So we're going to try as elders and as your pastor, I'm going to try to give you more supplemental teaching to kind of dive into some of those specifics, right? We want to keep this time reserved. Not that we don't go into it like we did today, but we want to keep this reserved for the exposition of his word and then maybe hit on some of those separately. So be looking out for that. That will hopefully help equip you, ready you, prepare you. I know you guys are already facing all sorts of things that it's just like there's so many questions that it is challenging to know how to navigate these times. All right, the third thing, briefly, is I want us to experience resurrection from the dead. And all I want to say about this is verse 11. Let's read verse 11. That by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. By any means possible. The resurrection Paul is talking about is not Christ's resurrection. He's talking about the future resurrection. He's talking about 1 Corinthians 15, our physical resurrection. He's saying, I'll do anything to get to that day. He's looking forward. So first we're looking back at the resurrection of Christ, and then we're looking forward at our future resurrection, so that even if I experience suffering now, if I experience loss now, I know that on that final day, I will have an imperishable body. I will have new life in Christ. So what's before us then is, do you know the power of his resurrection? If you do, then you have the power to face suffering. Do you know the power that raised your dead heart to life? If you do, then you're not going to settle for an empty, self-focused life. And maybe you don't know. You're here today and you don't know the power of his resurrection. And I'm saying that and it's foreign to you. You've never experienced that. It's like talking to a kid from New Mexico who's only seen the sun, who's now driving on ice, right? Maybe you've never experience that. What I want you to know is that the power is here. He is here. His words can make you come alive. He can call you out of the grave. He can say, come out and live. And that life is yours. All you have to do is repent and believe, call on his name, and you will be saved. So what I want to do, I said I was going to change it up. And of course, I'm a pastor. I talk too long. What I want to do is I'm going to have Nathan come back up here. We're going to play that song we just did. Whatever the last one we just did. You just play through those chords. And I'm going to have the elders, and if their wives want to, I want you to come up here. And I want to give you guys a chance to pray with someone, okay? And this is not to say, like, whoever's coming up to get prayer is super messed up and they need a lot of prayer. What I'm talking about is we just talked about experiencing the power of the resurrection, experiencing Jesus, experiencing suffering, experiencing the resurrection from the dead. We're looking forward to that. So what I want to do is give you a chance to pray with someone if you want to experience him, or you're saying, I'm not there, or I want more of him, or whatever place you're at, is I want you to actually experience that today. Like, I don't want you to just go away and think about this and then you drive home and it's over. So you have a chance right now, before that happens, if that's you, is to come up, pray with an elder, pray with an elder's wife, and to experience the power of his resurrection, to experience Jesus Christ, because he's here. So I'm going to go ahead. I know this is, the elders weren't ready for this, but that's what their job title is, and apparently their wives get to do that. So if you guys would go ahead and come up here, and go ahead and spread out. And if, as Nathan just starts playing, if there's any point you want to come up and you want someone to pray with you, we would love to be able to pray with you and bring you before God's throne as a brother or sister and encourage your heart into experiencing the things that we just read in those two verses. So let me pray, and then we'll spend some time doing that. Father, we just want to hold on to you, to the fact that you love us, care about us, care enough to give us Jesus. And it's only by his blood, only by his righteousness that we can stand before you. Only by the fact that you, Jesus, came back to life, we now can be saved. God, we want to experience you. We don't want to hold you at a distance. We don't want to hold you back. We don't want to live like you don't exist. So would you just break down all those barriers and walls and obstacles and pride and arrogance and fear and whatever is holding someone back, shame or guilt, they would come running to you. God, open up our hearts so we spend some time in prayer. It's in Jesus' name we pray, amen.